on Fridays in general, we try harder to discipline ourselves. On Fridays of Lent in particular, we make acts of self-denial. The official one is the abstinence from eating meat. But we try harder to live out what we decided on Ash Wednesday or at the beginning of Lent to deny ourselves. And on this Friday, we take a look at two readings which show us why this is so necessary, why this self-denial or self-discipline is so necessary. Why? Because we're sinners and we have this tendency to go overboard in claiming for ourselves what is not ours. So we have today two terrible readings, the story of Joseph who is sold into slavery by his own brothers, and then the parable of the wicked tenants who even kill the son of the landowner. So the first reading is a historical event. I mean, Joseph was a real person, his brothers are real people. The 12 tribes descend from these 12 guys. In the gospel, it's a parable, so you could say, well, it's a little bit more removed from the terrible reality, but it's a parable that describes exactly the situation of God sending the prophets and his own son and them being mistreated and killed. So even though it's a parable, it actually reveals something even worse than the story of Joseph. So two terrible readings, or readings about our terrible sin condition. It's never easy to face the sin condition. Perhaps the closest we get to it typically is when we see it in other people and we reject it, or we gossip about it. Oh, look what he did. Oh, look what she said. We say, oh, how bad that is. Oh, look at how bad that person is. Then we can identify it and label it. But when it gets too close to home, it's harder to do and we tend not to do it. That's why we need Lent. If you've ever worked with alcoholics or the whole world of addictions, you know that in addition to the problem of the addiction itself is the problem that they call denial. I think it's the alcoholics who came up with this term, and it's a very useful one, denial. It's this tendency that addicts have, in fact that we all have, to deny that we have a problem in the first place. I'm not the problem here. Other people are the problem, or my stress at work is the problem, or my wife is the problem, or my kids, or the economy, or something. In other words, something else is the problem. I don't have a problem. I can stop anytime I want to. You've heard addicts say this, right? I can stop anytime I want to. As long as they're saying that, they're in denial, and they're never going to improve because they're not facing the reality of their own problem. They can't stop anytime they want to, and because they can't, and they're ashamed of it, they won't face it. That's why the breakthrough is to acknowledge their powerlessness. And in fact, this is the breakthrough for sinners. We're all sinners. To acknowledge that we're sinners is a breakthrough. It's an acceptance of the ugly reality of our sin condition. In fact, we do this breakthrough a movement at the beginning of every Mass, right? I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. I'm the problem here. Through my thoughts and my words and what I've done, what I failed to do, grievous sin, again and again. And we all say that. We say it to our brothers and sisters. And so we ask the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the angels and saints and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me. That's what we say. We're breaking through that denial so that we're not simply looking at the sins of other people and saying how terrible they are. We're admitting we're also terrible. We belong to a terrible condition. Sin, every sin, is a kind of repetition of the original sin in the garden when Adam and Eve were told not to eat the fruit of one particular tree. And along came the serpent who said, well, you, go ahead and eat it. You won't die. You'll become like gods. So this lie that we keep falling for, that if we sin, we'll be better off. If we do the forbidden thing or taste the forbidden fruit, we'll be better off. We have a better idea than God has. Every sin has this lie behind it. In the case of the brothers of Joseph, they think they'll be better off if they just get rid of their pesky younger brother who has such a high view of himself and who's favored by their father. They just get rid of him. They'll be better off. You know the story of Joseph. And you know that it would have been a disaster for them if they had killed him, because after years, he became the very source of their salvation. The victim became the savior. So they were completely wrong about eliminating their brother. He was right all along. But that's the lie, right? Even though God says don't kill your brother, I think we should kill him and we'll be better off. In the case of the parable, the tenants think we'll be better off if we keep the produce for ourselves. All we have to do is get rid of these servants who keep coming to claim what's ours. And finally, when the landowner sends the son, they say to themselves, oh, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance. How illogical it is, aside from being grossly evil. It doesn't even make sense. Why would they get the inheritance if they killed the son? The exact opposite should happen. They should be destroyed because they're doing a wicked thing. And that's exactly what the listeners say will happen. What will he do? What will the owner of the vineyard do to these tenants? He will put those wretched men to a wretched death. Why favor someone who's so bad? But this is their thinking. They're thinking, it's better for me, it's better for us to take what we want and not submit to the landowner. It's better for us to be the owners, not to be the tenants. That's the lie of every sin. We have to apply it to ourselves. I say it's easy to apply it to other people, but we have to apply it to ourselves. We are all afflicted with this denial and with this twisted way of thinking that we have a better idea than God has, and we can improve our situation if we take for ourselves what we want. This is on ugly display everywhere. The war in the Middle East is just one more example of it. Every war is an example of this, right? People thinking that if I just have more bombs, if I have more power, if I have more control, I'll be better off. The whole world suffers under that mentality. Right here in the neighborhood, in the subdivision, there was a bit of a war. Maybe it's still going on. I don't know the details of this, but you know what happened. There are two rival claimants to who's supposed to run the homeowners association, as if this is a big territory that you know. I don't know who the Putin is or the Trump is or who thinks that BF Resort Village is such a prize. But anyway, so they got into a violent altercation, and someone died. One man died from that. So it's another example of what we see in these readings. What are we, crazy? Do we think that we have a better way of handling things? So, like I said, I don't know the case here, even in our own. I don't know the claims of these two parties that both claim to be in charge of the homeowners association and of the subdivision. But I do know the sin condition. I got it myself, and I see it in everybody. I mean, we all see it. This is just one more example. This is a very hard thing to keep looking at because it's such bad news. But if we take that difficult step, if we do that breakthrough of overcoming the denial process, if we admit that, yes, we're sinners, we confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, if we take this step, then we can start to see not only the sin, but God's way of dealing with the sin. And this is where the bad news, which is really bad, becomes really good. Because God has taken on this exact problem. I think that's why we read these readings on Friday, because in a few Fridays from now, what, 4 Fridays from now, it'll be Good Friday, and we'll see how God takes this on. He doesn't decide to bring those wretched men to a wretched death. He takes on the wretched death himself. The victim becomes the savior. See, this is the Joseph story, right? Joseph in the Old Testament, who's victimized by his own brothers, becomes the means by which God saves the brothers. In the parable, the son who is killed by the tenants offers his life for them. Now, the parable doesn't make it that clear, but we know the story of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The son willingly takes on this very sin condition in order to defeat it, to be defeated in order to defeat, to be defeated by sin in order to defeat sin. That's great news. That's what gives us hope. So why do we keep struggling through Lent? Why do we keep denying ourselves? Why do we keep facing the reality of sin? Because by doing this, we gain access to the victory over sin. It's a hopeful journey after all. Lent is a very hopeful season. It starts out with an ugly reality. And if we don't start with that, then we live in denial and there's no hope. But if we can get that breakthrough and recognize our powerlessness, our need for a savior, then we start to see we really have a savior. We have an answer to this problem. So that's the one we're following. On Fridays of Lent, typically we pray the Stations of the Cross, or we ponder the Passion. We focus on the cross because we're looking to the solution to the problem. We're also looking at the problem, but we're looking at the same time at the solution. And we're deciding to follow the one who has the power to overcome this sin condition. That's our hope. That's our determination as we continue the journey of Lent.